The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts your greatest gift, which is love, the true bond of peace and of all virtue, without which whosoever lives is accounted dead before you. Grant this for the sake of your only Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will neither be plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Psalm 37, let us read it responsibly by half verse. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers.
Do not be jealous of those who do wrong.
For they shall soon wither like the grass.
Like the green grass fade away.
Put your trust in the Lord and do good.
Dwell in the land and feed on its riches.
Take delight in the Lord.
And he shall give you your heart's desire.
Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him.
And he will bring it to pass.
He will make your righteousness as clear as the light,
and your just feelings as the noonday.
Be still before the Lord,
and wait patiently for him.
Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers,
the one who succeeds in evil schemes.
Refrain from anger, leave rage alone.
Do not fret yourself, it leads only to evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off,
but those who wait upon the Lord shall possess land.
In a little while the wicked shall be no more.
You can search out their places, but they will not be there.
But the lowly shall possess the land.
They will delight in abundance of peace.
But the deliverance of the righteous comes from the Lord.
He is their stronghold in time of trouble.
The Lord will help them and rescue them.
He will rescue them from the wicked and deliver them, because they seek refuge in him.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but bears seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body, and he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
That your word only may be spoken, and your word only heard. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I have to confess to you, when I read through the gospel reading for the day, which is a continuation of the Sermon on the Plain, they come down off of the mountain and Jesus begins to share, what is the kingdom of heaven like? I mean, and how do we know that we are part of, to use Michael Curry's words, part of the Jesus movement? And I read it and I thought, I don't know, let me look at the other readings, because it's a hard one. Talking about, you know, loving your enemies, right? And all the kind of reversal that we normally think of in terms of proper behavior, what we're allowed to do if somebody wrongs you. And what is it that Jesus says? It's not exactly what we are inclined to do. So I thought, well, let me look at the other readings. But no, I feel like you need to pause for a moment and consider what it is that is an impossible demand, and that none of us can really achieve. And then Jesus talks about, well, everybody can love the people they love. What about the people that are unlovable? What about the people that do us wrong? You mean you want us to love them too? And I would look at that on the face and say, good luck. But that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. And that is that we set ourselves apart from the world, not simply by, you know, Lent, not by going out and people seeing the mark of the ashes on our foreheads. If that's what distinguishes us, well, it's pretty puny. But what distinguishes us is what the early Christians would say of themselves, and then said of them, see these Christians, what? How they love one another. And if that's what sets us apart, well, that's a whole different standard. And to go from here, and people say of you, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something different. And I want it. So I turned to some of our recent experience, and I want to talk specifically about nonviolence. And you might know where I'm going with this, particularly since it is Black History Month. And I want to think about the contributions that Blacks have made to our culture, to our history, to who we are as a nation, and to who we are as a people. I mean, perhaps the person that occurs to you is Mahatma Gandhi, who said to his nation, we have to be different. And the way we will prevail in terms of really demonstrating love is by loving, when it would be easier to hate. And but the person I want you to think about is Martin Luther King Jr. And some of you will say, with some justification, well, you know, he's a pretty poor example because in his own life he was pretty up and down in terms of his moral character. And I don't know that I want to pay any attention to somebody who is far less than perfect. But that's exactly what I mean, because it's who we are, that we who are imperfect try to maintain a standard that is frankly beyond us, but we know is right. And we know that Jesus calls us to a standard that is tough, but is right. So I'm going to read to you something from Martin Luther King. I don't usually read a long excerpt, but this is one I just think is so good it deserves our attention. It comes out of his experiences. His daughter one time said to him, "How come you're always in and out of jail?" And he said, "Well, that's what I feel that God has called me to do, to witness, even if others don't approve. And to witness, stand against what is wrong in our society, even if others don't approve." He talked about being in a prison cell and being subjected by the jailer to all kinds of harsh treatment. And he said, all of a sudden, something sort of snapped in my mind. And he said that I recognize now that my jailer, get this, was a human being like me. And he may have gotten up in the morning and thought, how am I going to pay the bills? Or how am I going to mend the relationship with my wife? Or what am I going to do with my kids who I don't seem to be able to control? I mean, he may have woken up with that. And all of a sudden, he was not simply his tormentor, but he was a human being like himself with all the frailties of human nature. And it made a difference to him. So here's a thing that he wrote. This is from a book called Strength to Love. I remember getting it as a young college student, and I thought, gee, that title, it really appeals to me. Strength to Love. How do you find the strength to love? It was written in 1963. So I'm going to quote from it. He says of the standard that Jesus calls us to, he says this, of course it's not practical. Life is a matter of getting even, of kicking back, of dog eat dog. Am I saying that Jesus commands us to love those who hurt and oppress us? Do I sound like most preachers, idealistic and impractical? Maybe in some distant utopia, you say, that idea will work, but not in the hard, cold world in which we live. My friends, we have followed the so-called practical way for too long a time now, and it has led inexorably to deeper confusion and chaos. Time is cluttered with a wreckage of communities which surrendered to hatred and violence. For the salvation of our nation and the salvation of mankind, we must follow another way. This does not mean that we abandon our righteous efforts. With every ounce of our energy, we must continue to rid this nation of the incubus of segregation. But we shall not, in the process, relinquish our privilege and obligation to love. While abhorring segregation, we shall love the segregationist. This is the only way to create the beloved community. To our most bitter opponents, we say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We shall meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, we shall continue to love you. We cannot in all good conscience obey your unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. Throw us in jail and we shall still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our community at midnight and beat us and leave us half dead, and we shall still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. One day we shall win freedom, and not only for ourselves. We shall so appeal to your heart and conscience that we shall win you in the process. And our victory will be a double victory. Love is the most durable power in the world. This creative force, so beautifully exemplified in the life of our Christ, is the most potent instrument available in mankind's quest for peace and security. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. And another choir joyously responds, in Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. And we are part of that ragtag army, witnessing to a different kind of love, not simply loving those who love us, but learning to love those who don't love us and who wish us ill. We're part of that ragtime army of Jesus. We're part of the Jesus movement. And that sets us apart in a wonderful and exciting way. And you know how we begin that? By treating one another and the people that we meet with dignity and respect. I suspect you're like me, that when you run into somebody, which we often do, who is down and out, and who looks to us and says, can you help me? I mean, my tendency has always been to look the other way. And I'm learning that what I'm really called to do is to look them in the eye, because that is a sign that they are valued, that they're a person, that they are someone for whom Christ died. I might not give them what they want, except that I will accord them, hopefully, with the dignity of a human being. And as we begin more and more to extend that courtesy, not only to one another, but to those beyond these walls, we will know what Jesus' command is really all about. And we will echo that hymn that Martin Luther quoted from. In Christ, there is no east or west. In him, no south or north. No black or white, or whatever distinctions we love to make. But one great fellowship of love. Because love is the key. And that love is throughout the whole wide earth. Let's stand.